Philippians chapter 3. You know, whenever I say this, I want you to understand, I was about to say this, we've had two wonderful weeks these past two Sundays in the book of Philippians. I'm not praising my preaching. I'm praising the Word of God. I can butcher it and not do it justice, but I want to tell you the Word of God's more powerful than me and it can overcome it. We've really, those of you in this room today, you say, I love Jesus Christ. I am born again. Some of this room, you don't even know what that means. I have committed my life to Christ. I've repented of my sins, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in His work, not on my goodness, on what Christ did. He was sinless. He is God. He died. He took my punishment, the sin that I did. He took my sin upon Him. He took my punishment so I didn't have to. He died. He was buried, and He rose again. My faith is in Christ. For those of you that say that's true, you know, you don't have to guess. There should be a ton of evidence. Well, we've gotten really just a great perspective in Philippians chapter 3 of what it's all about. Paul was this blessed man. He was a talented man. He had credentials in every possible avenue of life. He was an impressive man from a human perspective, but he said none of that meant anything. He said he counted all loss. Remember 2 weeks ago, look at verse 10. This was what Paul said that his desire was, that he might know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Remember, we talked, everybody wants the power of God. But the more I study it, you don't get the power without the suffering. So, people ask me, they say, you want the power of God? I'm not sure if I want to suffer. That's complete selfishness. That's probably not the right response. But I'm convinced the power of God doesn't come without suffering. But remember this. Just remember, suffering is joyous when it's the will of God. You see, that's we forget that. And then last week we looked this one thing. Look at this in verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I'm nothing. I want you to know this for every single person in this room. This is the misunderstanding of Christianity. Christians are not telling people we're better than anybody. True Christianity says we are so pathetic, we are so wretched, that we realize we cannot honor God unless somebody else takes care of that for us, our sin, and that's Christ. Our goodness won't get us to heaven. Our goodness will not honor God. It is the work of Jesus Christ, and that's all. And so, but he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. No Christian in here has arrived. I love the old song, He's Still Working on Me. Right? It's good, right? I used to think that was a kid's song. I used to see, we used to have a bunch of kids sing, He's Still Working on Me. You know, oh, how cute that is, right? But I don't think it'd be that great to see a bunch of guys trying to not realize they're getting old. He's still working on me. But He is. And I'll tell you what, that's a great God. How many people would hang in there with a 54-year-old guy that kicked him in the teeth, refused to listen, selfish, ignoring, forget Him all the time? That's my God. He loved me this week in a way that was just dramatic. He's just good. And I'm not. He's a great God. I give up on people all the time. But not God. I'm not saying I should give up on people. He doesn't give up on me. I just want to tell you what a great God. We haven't arrived and He hasn't given up. Are you still breathing? You know, years ago, I had a lady, she passed out when I was preaching. And literally, I thought she died. And praise the Lord, it was just low blood pressure, right? And poor preaching. And so, but so we got her in the ambulance and I finished my message. Nothing will get in the way, right? So, nope, you can pass out today and we'll get you to, and we'll keep on going. And but just don't die on me today. That would be a good thing. But he says this in verse 13, but I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. So what, this one thing I do, Paul says. Well, the one thing he does is in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a goal, there is a place, there is a victory, there is a calling of God. I press toward that mark. It's to honor the Lord, it's to be like Him, it's to know Christ, it's to live for Him, it's to share Christ with everyone I meet. And there's three things that he had to do in verse 13. He said, putting those things which are behind. One of the things that will destroy you is your memory. I've met a lot of people, you don't know me. God can't forgive me. You don't know God then. A lot of people don't like that. Just talked to somebody this week. And they were upset that God could forgive someone that did horrible evil. In fact, the conversation was, what about that police officer that was on George Floyd's neck? They asked me this. Can he be forgiven and go to heaven? And I said, if he truly repents of his sin and he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the mercy of God. And they said, what about George Floyd? I said, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. George Floyd's eternity is set. His passing was at the hands of evil. But you see, we serve a God. I hope you, because I wanted to tell you this. We have more evil in our hearts than that police officer on the neck of George Floyd. The problem with mankind is we think we're better than that police officer. I heard him pick on Joe Biden this week, and you know, I don't talk politics, but I'll bring this up, and Joe Biden made this comment, and he didn't highlight who the group was. He said, you know, 10 to 15% of America are really bad people. Oh, they were all up in arms. I wish they had me on the interview. What do you think about that, Steve? Joe Biden's an idiot. 10 to 15% of Americans bad. It's 100%. It's not 10 to 15. The evil in our heart, you see, we think we're good people. They were appalled that 10 to 15% of us are very bad. No, it's 100%. There's none good. No, not one. That's all of us. See, we have to put those things behind. We have to put just our failures. The devil will just beat you up. He says, I've got to put those things behind. He says, I've got to reach into those things that are before. I want to let you know this. I asked somebody this morning, I said, how are you doing spiritually? They said, not too good. I said, well, I asked that because I just wanted to see, is this as you're on your upward pursuit of Christ, or is this just the new day that you're, by God's grace, you're just starting all over today? Because can you start all over yesterday? You can't. How many of you wish you could start all over yesterday? I do too. But you only have today. Putting those things which are behind and pressing toward those things which are before Him. I want you to know this. Remember this? We talked about this. What is your plan? If you don't have a plan to honor Jesus Christ, you will not. I will not. He says, putting those things which are behind. He says, I am reaching forth unto those things which are before. And He says, I press toward the mark. I want to tell you, it takes some discipline. You want to be a soldier for Christ. You want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we don't work our way into heaven, but if you want to be a soldier that honors Him, it does take discipline. That discipline doesn't get me to heaven. You understand the difference? But now that I'm a believer in Christ, now that I'm a child of God, now that I'm born again, I want to honor the King. I want to be a son that brings honor to Him. I've got to press. I've got to be disciplined. I've got to be focused on that one thing. On that one thing. Now, all of that was review, and I loved it, whether you did or not. So, now this is going to be so fascinating. I wanted to review that because now when we enter into Philippians 3:17, I want your wheels to be turning. Because if I didn't give you that preview, I want you to connect verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. It is not intuitive. It doesn't seem to connect. But oh, Christian, it connects, and it's a big deal. You want to do that one thing? You want to honor Christ? What happens in verse 17 on is not what you think is key, but it's a big deal. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, brethren, so he's talking to believers. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an ensample. Verse 18 is a parenthesis. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things in himself. Now verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The title of the message this morning is, Who Are You Following? It's kind of interesting that right after Paul gives us, I think, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, it's the passage that says, I need to be singularly focused on Christ. I need to be singularly focused on his glory. I need to be singularly focused on what God would have me to do to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. He then says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. Let me tell you, here's the big deal. You and I, we're going to follow somebody. Now, I know if I said, Caleb, who are you following? You know, this would be the right answer at 50% of most Bible questions. Jesus. You'd be like, ding, 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 ding. But I want you to know this. I think there is a distinction here. Absolutely. Our eyes, the prize, the goal is to be like Jesus. There is a difference. Jesus is perfect, was always perfect, can never be anything but perfect, and that is the goal. But there is a journey, Christian, that says when Paul talked about apprehending, he's talking about, I want to be like Jesus. And oh, what a battle, this flesh. We battle the flesh. The flesh doesn't want anything good. And so he says, oh, the goal is Christ. And then he says, be ye followers together of me. First thought today is find someone to follow. Find someone to follow. You see, Christ is the goal. Our desire, our mission in life is to know him. Every day, you should be in the Word of God. And when you're in the Bible, you should have this, you know, maybe there's many reasons, but I'm telling you, I think the most important reason to be in the Word of God is so that you will see Jesus, so that you will know him, not just for knowledge's sake, not just for intellect's sake, but so that you would know him. And when you know Christ, it always, it never puts us in a good light, but oh, when you know him and know yourself, you will love him more. The more you know him, the more you'll love him. I want to tell you this, no matter whether you're in Genesis all the way to Revelation, whatever the book of the Bible you're in, if you're in Leviticus, look for Christ. Look for Christ. So when we study the Bible, and it ought to be every day, we eat every day, you need the Word of God every day, spiritual food. It is what we have to do is we say, that's the goal. How do I get there? You will follow somebody. You see, don't deny it. The world knows that. Do they not? Instagram, what do they call them? Followers. How many followers you have, right? Or maybe I'm just, it's Instagram has followers. It's Twitter. How many followers do you have? Or who are you following on Twitter? Man, that'd be an interesting thing, right?
We have sucked your phones during this service, and we're going to highlight on the screen all the people that you are following on Twitter and on Instagram and all that. Well, that'd be telling, wouldn't it? You know, what, Facebook, we unfriend them. So now, you know, we go home, I'm going to unfriend you. You know, but it's, who are you following? Now, I want you to understand this. Here's what Paul says. Let me just give you a few other passages. He says this. This is intimidating. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, I beg you, be ye followers of me." Wow. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He does qualify it there in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "Be followers of me, even as I follow Christ." The amazing thing is that Paul could say, "Be ye followers of me." Now, here's the interesting thing. It comes in chapter 3. Obviously, all of this is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He takes the very personality of Paul, and he writes the eternal words of God, yet it's Paul that's writing it, yet it's God's word. That's the amazing part of God. Remember what we just came through. Paul said this. He said, "Be ye followers of me." And he said, "Every credential that I have is a waste. Don't follow me in terms of my credentials. Have no confidence in the flesh." So Paul's not saying, you need to have my education. You need to have my power. You need to have my wealth. You need to have my status. He says, in this context, he says, let me tell you this. He says, be followers of me, and that would be when I have no confidence in the flesh. Be followers of me when my sole objective is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He says, be followers of me when I am focused on this one thing, the high mark of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. When I am focused, you follow me. This one thing I do. I wish you all were, in one aspect, yes, would raise your hands when I ask questions, but you don't. So what a waste of time. So, because I think if I knew that you would raise your hand, if you really believe this, I would love this. But nobody raised their hand now. But how many of you, this is rhetorical, talk that. What I hear sometimes, I do get feedback. Some of you don't think I have rhetorical questions, so you guys answer them in the back. I need to teach some of you. We'll have a remedial training, what rhetorical is for our adults. But let me ask you this. How many of you Christians... You say, I know Christ. How many of you, if we could do it in humility with Christ, how many of you could walk up here this morning and declare, follow me? Be ye followers of me. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Paul was writing this letter to this church, and he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." And then he says, "And mark them which walk, so as you have us for an ensample." He wants them to mark them. He said, "Find other people that will be like me when I'm doing the right things." I want to tell you, you will follow people. Every one of us know, particularly with our kids, we know who they're following because they mimic them. They dress like them. They talk like them. They walk like them. It doesn't matter. There's somebody to follow for every kind of person in the world. Who are you following? Christian, you see, there is a difference. You've got to admit, I will follow somebody. So let's just begin to say, who are you following? So examine your music. Examine your social media. Examine the media in general. I know this. I don't know much about it, but I'm just telling you, I've watched a few. It's a waste of time. I know this is popular with young people to watch The Office. You know, The Office doesn't draw you to God one bit at all. And I know, Steve, I'll just shut up on The Office. You know what? My kids watch The Office, and I think it's stupid. It ain't helping them. You know what it does? It just makes you edgy. You laugh at things that Jesus wouldn't laugh at. I know. Then somebody's going to call me a legalist. I'm just trying to help you, Christian. And you know what? The Office isn't that bad. I said something that wasn't so blatantly obvious. I'm just telling you this. Why do we have to be under laughter and funny all the time? Because I think we don't understand our purpose. You want to follow the office? You want to be cool? Is that what the reality is? But Paul said, be follower of me. You need to pick somebody to follow. I know this for a fact, that at least about a third of you don't follow me. You know how I know that? You won't be back tonight. I will give you just some freebie advice. It's not legal. You should be at church every time the doors are open. What is better than being with God's people? Is there something better? Oh, man, look at this day. Oh, it's so beautiful day. The waters are calling me. You know, what is it that's better than being with God's people? You're really going to struggle with heaven if you don't like being with God's people, because it's eternal. If all you can handle is about an hour and a half and you're like, well, this guy never stops. I'm telling you. In fact, you feel more spiritual because you're like, I am confident he preaches longer than anybody in greater Cincinnati. In fact, I've done a poll. There's no doubt about it. One service is like three at any other church. Get my money's worth. I will tell you, I would struggle standing up here and say, follow me. But I want my life to be this. I want you to be able to follow me and I not lead you into a ditch. I want to help you. I'm not at the point where Paul is that I say, you follow me. Oh, I want to be. I want to help every single one of you. I promise you this. I wasn't trying to beat up people that don't come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't do it from the pulpit. Nobody ever wonders if I'm upset with him. And I'm not upset at you. I'm just giving you good advice. You think you're going to have the victorious Christian life and you're not going to do it God's way. I tell you, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out you're wrong and God's right, and that's what we find out every single time. I gave you church attendance just as one. You know this? There's tons of people that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they are useless. So just coming to church isn't going to make you a great Christian. But I will tell you this. I've never known of a great Christian that doesn't come to church all the time. Never. They just love being with God's people. They love just fellowshipping. They love singing. They love worshiping the King. They love just everything about the Lord, and they can't wait to be here. Find someone to follow. I will tell you, ladies, I would encourage you, follow my wife. My wife, I love my wife. And I joke with folks, I could have a 7-day seminar on her frailties. That would be truncated as well. So truncated, what does it mean? It's my wife has issues. In fact, I've got a little extra time. Let's talk about them. But I will tell you, I told somebody the other day, my wife's the most saved person I know. You say, what does that mean? It's, I can't know if any of you are saved. Do you know that? I have to work out my own salvation. I'm not working for it, but I need to examine this old rotten heart to make sure, am I truly saved? Oh, I can preach. Who cares? But do I believe it? Am I living it? Do I really love Jesus? Let me tell you, there's preachers that are going to wake up in hell, because it doesn't matter if you proclaim the truth. It matters. Is it in your old heart? Amen. When I say she's the most saved, ladies, I want to tell you this. I love my wife, and maybe I'm biased, but you know what? I've seen behind the scenes. And yes, it can get dark and ugly. But because she's married to me, she's a gift from God to me. Ladies, you should follow her. And she's got flaws. But who doesn't? I'm just telling you, she loves Jesus. And I love that woman. And you know this? She's one person I follow. You see, I don't know of any man I'd rather follow than my woman. I do wear the pants in the family, if you just were wondering about that. But do you know what goes through my mind a lot? I know this is crazy. You're probably not supposed to do this. I just want to tell you, I know who I'm following. And I know this. You're thinking, wait, Steve, you're talking about people. I am after Christ, but I need some help, and I need people that if I watch them, they'll help me. If I call them, they'll help me. If I know them, they love Jesus more than I do. If I'm around them, they have a spirit of Christ that I don't understand, and I want to be more like Christ. And if you're more like Christ, I want to hang around you. You see, the reality is, you may think this is a little edgy because, you know, well, I'm only supposed to follow Jesus. Well, that's the goal, but I'll tell you this, you need to make sure, who are you hanging around? Who are you following? It'll change everything about your life. I've seen it a million times. I don't need to see it a million and one. The wrong man, get with the wrong woman. It's over. Oh, God can pour out His grace, but not usually. Wrong friend, down the tubes. Parents, you're responsible for where your kids go. You're responsible for who your kids hang out. And who cares if they don't like you? They still need your money. Right? And so, be kind to your kids. But you don't get a good feeling about their friend? The answer is no. Little spelling test, N-O. Right? My kids know how to spell one word. That's no. Be a yes parent. But make sure you're yes. Lead them to Christ. What I'm saying is just take them everywhere you go for the cause of Christ. But your kids, you know, I'm going to give you a freebie. Just another freebie, right? And, you know, let's just say I started having kids today. You know, I mean, man, I'd be an old dad. But if I started having kids today, I'd still hold to this. My kids aren't getting a phone until they're at least 16. You know why? I can't find how a phone helps one kid. Every kid that has a phone, it ain't good for them. So you know this? We'll have a phone smashing party after the service if you'd like. I'm just giving you some good advice because you know what? You don't know who your kids are following. They're following somebody on that stupid phone, and the devil's after them, and he'll get their heart early, and he'll get their mind early, and he'll mess them up. And you know why you want a phone? Because you're too busy and the phone's a great babysitter. You know what? Suck it up. You chose to be a parent. Be a parent. Throw the phone away. Throw the videos away. Throw the TV away and be a parent. Any misunderstanding what I just said? I know that was kind of not said in a well, good spirit. I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you, all the kids that have phones, they're like, I knew I didn't like him. My son told me this, and then I'm going to move on. My son told me this, because when he was growing up, you know this, you know the number one babysitter for a boy? Video games. I eliminated video games for my son, and he didn't like me. Oh, well. He has since thanked me. He said, Dad, thank you. He's not now married, and he stays up all night playing video games because he's so messed up with video games that he'd rather play a video game than be with his wife. Praise the Lord, he has a brain. Bud, there's something better than video games. But there's tons of 20-somethings, 30-somethings. They'd rather stay up all night playing a video game than getting sleep and being with their dear wife and being rested enough for their family. You know this? That's why a lot of parents don't have time for their kids because they're all consumed with the wrong things themselves. It is my opinion about the phones, but I'll tell you this. I don't think when we get to heaven, you'll be like, Jesus told me it was a good idea to give my 8-year-old a phone. You were wrong. I don't think Jesus is going to be like, I have no idea what Pastor's talking about. I am pro-phone. I don't think he is. Your kids are following somebody. You're following somebody. Is it leading you to Christ? Second thing I want to show you. I wish my sermons were a bit more predictable. I wasn't planning on, but you know, I can't blame it on the Lord either. Second thing is know the people to avoid. There's three things the Bible says in this parenthesis. He said, for many walk. Now, Paul's speaking to this church at Philippi, so I'm speaking to the church of Hope Baptist Church. You know, there are people in this room, you don't want to follow them. They'll destroy you. And here's the three characteristics he says. He says, verse 18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now even tell you weeping, and we ought to weep over that. We ought to weep that there are people in our midst
that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They'd rather cause division. They'd rather be all about themselves than about Christ, and they're in our midst. I don't necessarily know who they are. Pastor's the last to find out. I think some of you know. Paul says this. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you, he says this, whose end is destruction. I want to tell you this. You follow the wrong person, you'll follow them to destruction. You're not going to agree with anybody on everything anyway, but why don't you follow somebody that loves Jesus Christ, and it is evidently and abundantly clear. Probably the people that you're challenged by, you probably think, man, they're weird. You would rather be cool and less of a Christian than be considered weird. That's a big issue for a lot of Christians. We are so enamored with cool, and we think we can have our cool in Christianity too. I'm sorry, in the 21st century, I can't see the win. Let me tell you, the thing that's cool is this book right here. This is really cool. It doesn't get any cooler than this. It's an amazing book. Know this book. Here's what he says. He gives three characteristics of the people that you don't want to follow. He says their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. Let me just list this and listen to Romans chapter 16. In fact, quickly turn there, and I got to get a move on this. Quickly turn there. In fact, I may just finish with my second point today. Find someone to follow, know the people to avoid. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 16, verse 17. He says, these are the people to avoid, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Let's talk about that just for a little bit. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, again to believers, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Similar phrase. And by good words, they know the words to say, and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, I want you to know that the people that you don't want to follow, it's not so obvious. They've got the good words and the fair speeches, but I'm telling you this, here's how you'll know. Is that person all about Christ, or is that person all about themselves? See, these are the two options you and I have every day. Will I live for Jesus, or will I live for myself? For lost people, they don't even ask the question because they don't know Christ. Lost people wake up every day and here's all they think. How can I make my life better? I want my life to be better. I want my life to be better. And I'm telling you, every day I wake up, I have to fight that. It's not about my life. It's about Christ. And it is a battle every day. When it says whose God is their belly, they're all about themselves. They cause division. They cause just offenses. But they've got good words and fair speeches. Praise the Lord. It's not your job. It's not my job to beat them up. God will take care of that. I want to tell you this. If you're a person that you cause division and you cause issues within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, the best thing for you to do is to leave. Be better for you not to go to church, stay away, than for you to come and cause divisions and offenses. Leave. Until you get your heart right. I'm giving you good advice. You'll be under much less judgment of God. If you want to be here and you want to cause division, you want to cause offense, either get right with God or leave. I'm helping you. And you'll help our church. And maybe God just might have mercy on you. Stay away from people whose God is their belly. Me. Second thing I want you to see, look at Philippians chapter 3. Turn back there real quick. He said, whose glory is their shame. I've seen it in Christianity, folks. So we're talking within the church, and this bothers me. The more you watch secular stuff, the more you watch, you know, I mentioned The Office, and The Office is somewhat innocent, but it's got sexual innuendo, it's got things that are inappropriate, and we ignore it because it's so funny. You just ignore that, it's so funny.
But before you know it, sexual innuendo enters into the church. Let's help each other. A bunch of guys are together, and the guys begin to talk inappropriately. Someone lovingly say, "Hey, guys, no, no." If couples are together and things begin to be discussed, nip it in the bud. Help one another. I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy groups. I've seen it turn into things that I never even want to talk about publicly. It's ridiculous. Whose glory is their shame? Let me tell you this, Christians, of all people, should we not be ashamed of our sin? But Christians, we get around and we still brag about our sin. We brag about our, well, you know, my edginess. You know, God sees all sin, but I do appreciate this. I appreciate that you're trying to keep your sin away from God's people. The reality is, if you're going to stay in sin, you're going to affect people around you with your sin. The only hope is to repent of your sin and make it right. But let me just tell you this. He's speaking of people in the church. He said, whose God is their belly and their glory is their shame. Let me tell you, teenagers, you don't want to hang around any teenagers where they are bragging about their sin. Maybe it's not deep sin, but you know, you got to understand, we never start like in the pit. We start here and then it goes down. People speaking inappropriately, inappropriate jokes, inappropriate videos, inappropriate this, inappropriate that. You got to, and you don't have to go, "Well, hither thee thou." You know, no, just say, "Hey, look, I know my flesh would like that." You don't even have to talk that way. Just say, "I would like that. But it won't help me honor Christ. If I listen to that, if I watch that, if I were part of that, I'd laugh too. And it'll just destroy me, because the end is destruction. I'm not better than you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, it'll destroy me." Whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. You see, it ought not to be in our midst. It ought not to be where we're no longer ashamed of our sin. I think we ought to be ashamed of our sin. That's the problem in the 21st century. There's no more shame, is there? But the problem is, there's no more shame in the Lord's churches. We can talk about them. It's us. You know the problem with the United States of America? It's Christians. I wish we had as much passion about the gospel as the protesters did about their protest. I'm telling you, I appreciate passion. I wish if we had half the passion, America would be different. Let's do it in love. Let's do it in kindness. Do we not have a cause? Do we have a cause? It's the cause of Christ. The only thing that's going to change America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing. And we say, "Man, our response is, I need to get a gun." I'm not anti-gun, but you know what our response needs to be? I need to get some guts. And I need to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to find lost people. I need to find people that'll listen. Some people won't listen. And if they won't listen, guess what? You can't make them listen. Find people that'll listen. Say, "Hey, would you love to have a Bible study with me? Hey, let's get into the Bible. Hey, I don't have all the answers, but God's given us all he wants us to know, and it's called the Bible. Would you study the Bible with me?" Oh, you know, a lot of people may say, you know, more people will say yes than you have a clue. Remember this. You don't want to be a person whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and the third person to avoid, who mind earthly things. The Bible says this, and I'm done. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." This is 1 John 2:15-16. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know, where is this balance, right? It's about focus. Because guess what? We have things to do. You've got to wash the dishes, right? I forgot that I told my wife I would unload the dishwasher and load the dishes. And she was being very helpful for me. she just waited until the scene was so bad. It's just the two of us. You'd be amazed how many plates two people can go through, you know? Well, the amazing thing about Corona is it's making the suits smaller. I don't know what it is. It's weird. And it must be something in the environment. But thanks for some of you that caught that joke. I appreciate that. But she left the dishes there, and then finally I realized, because I thought, why are those dishes there? I thought I had a dishwasher. her name is, but I had told her I would do the dishes, and she left them there. You got to do earthly things. You got to do the laundry. I have no idea. I love this because it's helpful. It's helpful, right? Because we kind of review the day. It's a helpful thing for us. And sometimes I'm like, how many loads of laundry did you do? And it's just us. You know, like Monday, Tuesday, she still does like 8 to 10 loads of laundry. And I know when you have kids, it just must be, that's a daily thing, right? So you gotta take care of earthly things. That's not what it's talking about. But what I love is when she's folding the clothes, she's listening to preaching. Not mine, a little hurt. But she's just listening to godly teaching. And then she gets excited, she'll come down and she'll share it with me. And she was doing some yard work. You got to do the yard, you know? I mean, because get the neighbors upset, you know? And moles, you know, they're part of the fall. I hate moles. Anyway, don't get off on moles. Let's finish the message. Mind earthly things. You got to do earthly things. But is that your focus? Are you defined by your job? Are you defined by your money? Are you defined by your children? Be defined by Christ. You've heard me say it before. I don't believe in self-esteem. I believe in Christ's esteem. We saw in Isaiah 40 on Wednesday night, it's just to encourage you. I've been lying to you for a long time, and for this I ask for an apology. I've been telling you for years that you're nothing. I forgot this passage in Isaiah chapter 40. It says that we are less than nothing. Now, only God can understand that, right? How can you be less than zero? I love the smart aleck. Give me on a scale of 1 to 10, and they go, zero. And I'll be like, hey, goof, I didn't give you zero, you know? But God says, you're less than nothing. Less than nothing. See, wouldn't that be discouraging if you left and said, hey, what'd the preacher preach about today? He said, I am less than nothing. Oh, that's encouraging. But here's the most beautiful thing. In Christ, I can do all things. I can overcome my sin. I can learn how to love people. I can learn how to honor Christ. Though it doesn't change, I'm less than nothing. See, I'm not discouraged. When I'm thinking right, my esteem is in Christ, the only one that makes me worthy of anything is Christ. You see, I'm royalty, child of the King. Now I need to live like it. We love being a child of the King, but we don't like the responsibilities that come with being royalty. I don't remember their names. You know, they kind of checked out of the royal responsibilities. What are their names? Meghan and Harry. That was just a test. Whoever knew that? No, I'm just kidding. So Meghan and Harry, right? They stepped out of royal responsibilities because, man, it's rough, isn't it? You can't go out, you know. Just go out to get the mail. You know, you're going to be on the front pages. Kind of dumb, right? So they said, no, we don't want it. And I'm not criticizing. I'm not. But you see, we don't take the royal responsibility of being a child of the King. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you're a representative of the King. Pay attention. It's good. It's amen. That was amen, right? She said, do it again. You want to be a royal representative of the King. Let's learn this book. But I am amazed about this passage. This one thing I do, And then right after that, he says, make sure you know who you're following. You follow the wrong people, it'll either lead you to a greater love of Christ, or it'll take you into a ditch. Who are you following? Let's pray.